101.1 FM, The Way.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, offering over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes.
When Jews arrest Jews for doing what Jews are supposed to do, when we find countries named in Ezekiel doing what Ezekiel said they would, when we find the world condemning Israel for defending herself, which she should, and when brainless billionaires think their insane ideas will save us, then we're looking at the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, November 22nd, 2024. You can listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with a friend. You can read the articles we talk about, or you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or just grab our app right from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to tell us a few jokes about unemployed people, but unfortunately none of them work, is Pastor Mark, who recently discovered it's illegal to laugh out loud in Hawaii. You have to keep it to a low ha.
Yeah, that's cute. It's cute. It wasn't out loud, you know, laugh loud. It was cute. Sorry. straight into
We're
articles.
Just going straight into articles today.
Subject change.
We're not messing around.
Oh, no, I always appreciate it. Right. Always appreciate the humor there.
We have lots of stories to get to today and lots of things to talk about. And our first article comes from Israel 365 News, dated November 19th. As more Jews ascend to the Temple Mount, police increase removals and arrests.
Yeah, we're jumping right in. Boy, this is some amazing articles to get into today, Greg. I'm kind of glad we're jumping right in. There's so much to cover here. And, you know, we've talked in the past about the Jews going more and more up on the Temple Mount and getting involved in just being up there. I mean, just, you know, it's this thing where, and let me make sure our listeners all understand. They probably do. The prophecy guys out there understand this, but Israel has control of the Temple Mount, but they have sovereignty over the Temple Mount as a part of Israel. But it's run, and the control of it is by the WAFC, which is a group. You know, it's the Jordanians. They police it, if you will. They run it.
They're like the Switzerland in the Middle East, right there.
Yeah, and they run it. They, you know, this kind of thing. So they allow you. A Jew can go up there, but for years the Jews were very sparse in going up there because, you know, it caused issues. And you know, you didn't. It's like they didn't care so much because the Jews, when they first went back, their focus wasn't on the Temple Mount or the Third Temple or getting back up there. Their focus was just, hey, we're Jews, we're back in Israel, and here we are. But as the years went by, there's a whole new generation that's now very focused on, you know, we want to get back on the Temple Mount. We want to get things back to Judaism the way it was, even biblically. Even some of the secular Jews who who aren't really into, you know, the religious side of things, they still have this kind of nostalgia of let's get back on the Temple Mount and you know, if the religious crowd wants to build their temple again, great, but we should be able to go up there and all that. So they've been going up there more and more and more over the last few years and being more involved. They have, supposedly they're restricted from praying up there. They don't allow them to pray. Well, the Jews have been going up there, and not only going up there, they're praying anyway. And now they're going right up there and praying, you know, the Dome of the Rock. So this is something, understand, that's what's happening. And God says he's going to begin to turn their hearts back toward him and back toward the way that God set things up and back toward the Temple Mount, even though the temple itself is not going to be a godly or righteous place because it's trying to take the place of the blood of Christ. To them, it wouldn't be taking the place of the blood of Christ. They wouldn't even acknowledge the blood of Christ. But we realize it's a failed a system that didn't work because the blood temporarily covered by the animals, only the blood of Christ can really cover. And so Jesus did that on the cross, and obviously a godly system that God set up. I don't mean it that way. It's just that God knew it couldn't ultimately take man's sin away. So that was phase one. Phase two was the cross, and now they are trying to re-promote phase one, which has now been null and void by the cross. So that's why the temple is not a godly thing, but it is a very prophetic last days thing. And notice what it says. There's been an impressive surge in the number of Jews ascending to Judaism's holiest site. The Temple Mount administration estimated that 51,000 Jews had ascended in the past year. A Temple Mount advocacy group, Beyadenu, which includes Jews who entered the Temple Mount compound as tourists, set that number at 56,000, a record number of Jews at the site. Unfortunately, as the number of Jewish visitors to the site increased, so did the actions of the Israeli police. Now, you think, why would the Israeli police oppose them? Remember, they've turned over the right to run it to the WAFC. You know, it was the Jordanian police or the Jordanian authority. So the Israeli police are just honoring the agreement that the nation has made. So even though they're Israeli, if Jews go up there and they break the rules, then, you know, they're going to take action. So this year it says there was a 95% surge in removals and arrests as 237 Jews were detained or arrested. 2 years ago, only 93 Jews were arrested or detained. 118 were administratively removed from the Temple Mount, compared to 92 last year, an increase of 28%. And Tom Nassani, the CEO of Beyadenu, returned to the Temple Mount, stated, and I quote, "We call on Minister Ben-Gvir to demand that the police stop the policy of removal and delays." And the police responded to the claim by saying, "Any attempt to disrupt the public order of the site or at the site is handled accordingly." And it ends by saying this: Jews are openly and loudly praying on the Temple Mount right next to the Dome of the Rock. The status quo, which disallows Jewish prayers, seems to be changing whether the Israeli government wants this or not. So they're going up there saying, "We don't care about your rules. We don't care about what you're saying. We're going to go up and pray right here." And they're doing it next to the Dome of the Rock, not to be obnoxious to the Muslims. They're doing it next to the Dome of the Rock because, Greg, they believe that's where the temple was.
Yeah.
So they're getting as close to the temple as they can, as close to the Holy of Holies as they could. And, of course, I do not believe that's where the temple was. I think it was farther north, to the farthest sides of the north, again, right, so to speak.
Yeah.
And but it's interesting to watch this happen because it is going to continue to increase until the interest is going to grow, until the Antichrist allows them to rebuild their third temple.
You know what's really interesting when you think about Iran and other Islamic-dominated countries? Those countries' governments are really kind of guided by their religion.
Yeah.
And even, you know, the official name is the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Yes.
But what's interesting here is that for Israel, who at one time, and we've got the accounts of it in the Bible, the government of Israel was guided by the religion of the Jews.
Right.
But not today.
Yeah.
It's very secular, and it's sometimes very against its own religion that brought itself into the land.
Right.
Through Moses. So yeah, it's just an interesting dynamic. And the next time that I'm thinking that the religion will of the Jews will be in force in terms of the government is when the government is on the shoulders of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And again, now we come up to that time of year where we talk about that. The government will be upon his shoulders. The government is not on his shoulders yet.
Not yet.
He's ruling and reigning over all from heaven. So he's Lord of all. But he hadn't taken authority yet on the earth in the sense of coming to rule and reign here, which he will do soon. And you're right. I mean, it's like they're going to say, remember he said, you won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He said that right before they crucified him.
Yeah.
And the way that's going to work is now he's gone. God will pour out his spirit on them in the last days. And they're going to say, blessed is he who comes. That is, he's coming back in the name of the Lord. They'll acknowledge him. He says, then you'll see me. Then I'm going to come back.
Look at how today's Jews are set up, though, because they're thirsting to have their religion back. They're thirsting to be back on the Temple Mount.
Yeah.
And there's going to be someone that's going to come and give it to them.
Yeah, it's really sad. This is one of the saddest things and the hardest things, Greg, as you know, is that they're looking for a Messiah. And the Messiah they're looking for, by their definition, is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And he absolutely fits their definition of what they're looking for.
He's going to allow them to worship again.
The Bible says he will unite the nation again in letting them get on the Temple Mount, rebuild the third temple. He'll open up, he'll make a peace agreement with them and the surrounding nations. He'll have the power and the authority to do that. So finally they're going to say, oh, finally peace and safety. Which again, we know the great tribulation, you know, it says the sudden destruction will come upon them, but they're looking for a man. They're looking for a man to let them rebuild their third temple. They're looking for someone that will bring them peace in the world. And the Antichrist, the Bible says, will do all of that falsely for 3.5 years, and they're going to buy into it. Remember what Jesus said. He said, I came in my own name, and you rejected me. He said, one will come in his own name.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I came in the name of the Father, and you rejected me, but one will come in his own name, and him you will receive. And so, again, I believe he's alive right now. I think he's going to be revealed at the right time. And it's just, again, watching, like you said, they're totally set up and ready for that.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you someone else who's alive, Pastor Mark, and that is Benjamin Netanyahu, according to Israel 365 News. He is throwing off the yoke of the oppressive anti-Messiah Biden regime.
You know,
please explain.
Well, finally, he can tell what's been going on. Let's read some of this. And look, we've been telling everybody this for a long time, that the Biden administration is very anti-Israel. They pretend. They remind me of those in the Bible. God said, you honor me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. They honored Israel to some degree with their mouth, but their heart was far from them. But even, Greg, they just came out and openly said they were against Israel there toward the end, and denying them military help and all this. But Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed the Knesset plenum on Monday, describing in no uncertain terms how the Biden administration has dictated terms that cripple Israel's war effort. And I quote, the U.S. had reservations and suggested that we not enter Gaza, said Netanyahu in the Knesset plenum on Monday. It had reservations about entering Gaza City, Khan Yunis, and most critically, strongly opposed the entry of Rafah, which is interesting because that's where the big holdup was of all the major leaders. The Biden administration, as though they were on Hamas's side. I shouldn't say as though. The Biden administration delayed weapons shipments to Israel to enforce its Rafah initiative. So they held back the weapons. Basically what he said was, well, I'll read it. Hamas used the U.S. policy as a shield, launching deadly rockets from Rafah. And when the IDF finally did enter Rafah, it discovered extensive tunnel networks and massive caches of weapons. Hostages were taken, were being held there in Rafah, some in civilian houses. And listen to what he said. President Biden told me, again, when they talked on the phone, he said, if we go in, you'll be alone. You're going to be alone, Netanyahu said. He also said that he would stop shipments of imported weapons to us, and so he did. A few days later, Secretary Blinken appeared and repeated the same things that I told him. We will fight with our nails. In other words, he said, here's what they said. You do this, we're not going to help you. We're going to hold back shipments of weapons that you need. Netanyahu said, you know what? If we have to go it alone, we'll go it alone. We're going after them. We're going to defend ourselves. We're going to go try to get our people. And here's our administration. What arrogance. You know, you can't go get your people. You can't defend yourselves. And all the lies that came out through that, you know, about what they were doing, which we'll get to in other articles here in a moment. But the president threatening him. So Netanyahu is now free to say, you know what? He hasn't been saying this really much. He said a few things publicly, but a lot of this stuff he's held to himself. He's free now to say, you know what? And he'll be diplomatic. He will be. But at the same time, he can now say, you know what? President Biden opposed us, and this current administration opposed us. And, you know, I think, honestly, this is what's really shocking to me. Kamala Harris is more opposed to Israel than President Biden, which means had she won the election, it would have been even worse in the sense of American cooperation with the nation of Israel, because he's opposed. She's like anti. I mean, she's just really opposed to Israel. And so together it was not a good combo, but you know what? God is removing them now. Praise the Lord. And now
God
is
putting, by what
yes,
has been.
There yes. you go. And God is putting in now an administration that is openly, not just President Trump himself, but the cabinet that he's putting around him. They're maybe all, and probably are, but I haven't heard, I don't know that I've heard all of them make statements about Israel, but they're for the most part, if not all, pro-Israel. And you're going to see God is now taking this assault that's come from our leadership in America and others. He's now turned it on its head and given the strongest nation in the planet the backing, giving Israel the backing by them, and now we're standing with them. So this is kind of it's interesting. President Trump talks about the golden age of America is about to be introduced. It's going to be, in the world's eyes, and probably in the Jewish eye, the golden age of Israel in the sense of those standing with them and helping them. And it's really leading right to that whole thing that we talked about earlier. When they say peace and safety, they're going to be rejoicing. Look at this. We finally are established as a nation, accepted as a nation. The world has taken us in. It's going to be boom, and everybody's going to turn against them. The Antichrist tried to wipe them out. This whole thing's going to turn around so rapidly. And their true hero, the one that will never forsake them, leave them or forsake them, Jesus the Christ, will come back and rescue his people Israel.
But first, we have to get to the War of Ezekiel. And according to a recent report from the Times of Israel, the IDF is finding far more Russian arms in Hezbollah's possession than they expected.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, again, something that we would expect biblically, but now they're kind of finding this. And before I even read this article, you know, years ago, Calvary Chapel pastors had been warning the guides there in Israel and other people they met, you know what, Russia's going to come against you guys one day. And years ago, Greg, they would mock it. I remember hearing Pastor Chuck talking about sharing with somebody there, one of the leaders of Israel, and I don't think it was a tour guide. I think maybe it was a leader, but I know they share with both. And it was kind of like, you know what, Russia's not going to come against us, blah, blah, blah. Well, now that sentiment is they still aren't saying Russia's going to come against them. They're not getting that yet.
But they're a little bit more wary.
Well, suddenly it's like, wait a minute.
Mm.
Why is Russia on our border? Why is Russia making alliances with Iran and Turkey? Why are we finding Russian weapons everywhere? I think they're starting the beginning of waking up. Like the alarm clock, they've been hitting snooze. And I think now it's going to be, okay, I've got to get up at some point because we got to get to work.
Yeah.
But Israeli troops are operating in South Lebanon, have encountered large amounts of Russian weaponry in the possession of Hezbollah than the military had expected, according to a report Tuesday. 60-70% of the arms found in the initial days of the ground operation were Russian-made, including anti-tank weapons produced as recently as 2020. So that means these are new inflow of weapons coming in. Many of the weapons, again, were originally owned by the Syrian military, which has been supplied by Russia for years, but they're finding, in addition to that, others. The Wall Street Journal said that the Syrian security officials acknowledged this, as well as the Narab official. However, it is unclear exactly how the weapons reached the Lebanese terror group. Both Russia and Hezbollah fought on the side of Syria's President Bashar Assad in the Syrian civil war. Hezbollah's cache of modern, sophisticated weaponry far exceeds prior military estimates in both quantity and capability, the report said, bolstering the group's ability to strike and kill Israeli soldiers. You know, it's one thing when you've got people on your border with bottle rockets, and I don't mean to belittle the weapons that were used against them. There have been Israelis killed over the years by these Katyusha rockets and all that, but they were like bottle rockets compared to what they're finding now, Greg. It would be like you're shooting off bottle rockets, and now you've got the big ones at the 4th of July that the city's shooting off, and you're like, okay, yours is a little bit better. They're finding very sophisticated weaponry now that means, okay, that they can do more damage to the infrastructure of Israel and damage more Israelis. So it's a lot more serious. And remember, these guys you're a tiny, tiny little nation, the size of a state, you know, New Jersey, and everybody's there on your borders. This is a big deal. So that's why Israel has to go and hit fast and hard when they attack to take these guys out in a major way, because if they start shooting all these different missiles, it could become a real problem. Of course, God's going to protect them, and we saw what their technology did with the Iron Dome and all those things, but still, this is a big deal, and now we're seeing Russia more and more entangled, and I think the eyes may be opening a little bit to, wait a minute, maybe Russia is not exactly as friendly to us as we thought.
On the boats and on the planes, because
All right, as we come back to America, we'll take a look at a couple of articles here. The first one is from Israel Today, dated November 17th. Peace through strength. What a novel idea. A look into Trump's Iran policy.
Yeah, again, kind of taking from a page of the book of President Ronald Reagan. He's following in those same footsteps. And really, Greg, this is where you find peace in this fallen world. A lot of people think that peace can be made. If you don't know the Lord, they think peace can be reached by simply being nice to the enemy and nicing them into submission. Well, that's just not reality. Since the fall of man and the influence of the demonic realm that were cast out of heaven, you know, you are going to have war. And the only way you're going to subdue that or keep the demonic realm back is by the spiritual realm. And the only way you're going to keep the world back from responding to that is by strength. There's got to be an overpowering force to keep everyone under control. It's interesting. You know, you saw these things that people were doing around the world. And then when President Trump got elected, we mentioned this last week, he's not even in office yet. But because he has a reputation of being tough, already people are backing down and changing their tune. Why? Because they're being forced to. They realize they're going to get walloped and they can't win this thing. So now you better make friends and be as nice as you can so you don't get walloped. And so there is a proponent to power and strength that brings peace. You will not bring peace without power and strength. There has to be in this world, in this fallen world, in this era, there has to be a stronger, more dominant power in order to have peace worldwide. And that's why wars are necessary, weaponry is necessary, defense is necessary. These things have to happen until Jesus Christ comes back. And those who think that we can just kind of do away with war and, you know, all wear tie-dyed and, you know, smoke dope and just do whatever and sing songs, the sun's going to go away. Those are going to be the first ones dying. I mean, that's just deception.
Or if we just get rid of our nuclear weapons, everyone else will too.
Yeah, that is the dumbest thing in the world. And again, you can't see that when you don't know the Lord because you don't have the spiritual insight for that. But once your eyes are opened and you see spiritually what's going on, you recognize it. Well, President Trump, again, whether he sees the spiritual end of it or not, I don't know, but he sees at least the principle that if you have power and strength, you can force peace. You don't want, if you give power and strength to the wrong people, well, then they can destroy everyone. But if you give power to those that don't want to destroy everyone, everybody else falls into submission. And so that's the principle they're using here. It says, in the article, ever since November 5th, the eyes of the world, that's the election, the eyes of the world's political pundits have been fixed on Mar-a-Lago Club in Florida, where President-elect Donald Trump has been hammering out his new administration. Focusing first on his secretary and foreign policy team, Trump has already managed to fill most of the central roles that will define his second term's foreign policy. According to experts and Trump himself, the resounding message of the new team is the reconstitution of the old Reagan doctrine of peace through strength. That is, you're so strong, no one wants to fight because they know they're going to get killed. And I quote, while President Trump said he will be a president who will end wars, and despite talk of America first isolationism by some, his nomination have created a team of like-minded national security personnel who are well aligned with Israel on the Iranian threat. So it's this kind of world peace, but right now the focus is on Iran because they're the ones making all the threats. Others are making semi-threats. You know, you got Russia and others, but Iran has this constant, we're going to kill America and Israel. And so he's saying, hey, there's this Iranian threat, and so the president is going to squash that by simply overpowering that threat. And they know you do anything, again, as I said, you're going to get walloped. In one of the first policy statements from President Trump's team after the election, State Department transition leader Brian Hook said this, and I quote, President Trump understands that the chief driver of instability in today's Middle East is the Iranian regime. The president would seek to isolate Iran diplomatically and weaken them economically so they can't fund all their violence. So, again, he had them pretty much starved out and strangled out in his last term. And then when President Biden got in, he opened
the prison doors.
The same thing President Obama did. They just opened up the floodgates of money and supply and really made it possible for them to get the nuclear weapons and head that direction and resupply their terror organizations. You have to look at it and go, that is, it's the evidence of not knowing God. Because think about it. Even if you didn't like Israel, why would you open up the floodgates of funds and weaponry for a nation that is committed to destroying you? I mean, that there's just a blindness there. It's like, I don't like Israel, so I'm going to open up the door for the Iranians to do this. But you got to remember, what they say is Israel first. They call us the great Satan. They call Israel the little Satan because we're larger and have more power. We're called the great Satan. And they say, Israel first and America second. So if you know that as a leader of the nation, why would you give them anything? You should be trying to take away. Well, President Trump understands that. So again, we're heading into a brand new time frame where God has given us a reprieve where this stuff can be fought against. And he's going to begin to strangle them out again and isolate them. And again, it'll take a while to get it back where it was. The frustrating thing is that after 4 years of getting them back to where they need to be, who knows what the next person is going to do. And this last quote, he says, since complex military operations like Iran take advantage to prepare and plan, I expect that there will be some coordination between Israel and the incoming Trump team already during this transition period. Now, I bet there is. They're probably already talking. They're probably already making plans about how they're going to deal with this. But I am just thrilled to see that he's going to build this up peace through strength. Because one of the things that you know as a believer, again, it's only through strength in this fallen world you're going to have victory. If you become weak on purpose, thinking everybody else will respect that, they will stomp you and kill you and do away with you. And you're dead.
Yeah.
You have to have this wall that goes, look, you better not mess with us. And if you do, you're going to pay huge. And then they stay away and you have peace. Unfortunately, that's the kind of peace we have to have during this era. We won't when Jesus comes back. He will simply rule and reign with a rod of iron, the Bible says, and he'll control everything from the throne there in Jerusalem. But until then, that's what we have to do.
Yeah. Pete Hegseth, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, fantastic. Yes. Well, he's calling on the Muslims to stop denying the Jewish connection to the Temple Mount, according to Israel 365 News.
Yeah, this is something, Pete Hegseth has been connected to Israel for many years. He's done these specials where he goes over to Israel and real connected to the nation, a real friend of the nation of Israel. He's a decorated Marine. Also, I think, like either a Harvard grad or Harvard, and he went to two like elite schools, very well educated, very smart. And now he's the one that, again, the president is tapping to work with.
To be the Secretary of Defense, I believe.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And so a lot of people are attacking him. There's going to be some opposition.
Well, the enemy's going to stir up anything he can.
Yeah. And there's always opposition to a lot of the president's, appointees by others if they don't like what they're doing. And the fact that he so loves Israel and so supports Israel, he will no doubt come into a lot of opposition here. But listen to what it says. Media reports reveal that when Pete Hegseth addressed the Arutz Shiva conference in Jerusalem at the King David Hotel in 2018, he surprised the attendees by saying that visiting the Western Wall got me thinking about another miracle that I hope all of you don't see too far away. Because 1917 was a miracle, 1948 was a miracle, 1967 was a miracle. These are all major milestones for the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
2017, the declaration of Jerusalem as the capital was a miracle, and there's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible. Wow. Again, God is opening the doors for this stuff to take place. It's just going to take the right guy to step in and do it. And it's going to have to be somebody with that supernatural anointing and charisma from Satan that Satan can give. And, he can give the kingdoms of the world to who he wants. He's a temporary manager. God owns the earth, but Satan's the temporary manager due to the fall. And so the same offer he made to Jesus, he'll make to the Antichrist. He'll have this kind of ability. And so it's very interesting to hear this kind of talk going on. Hegseth reiterated his belief in a Jewish temple when he ascended the Temple Mount in 2019, according to Rabbi Chaim Richman, who was at the time the international director of the Temple Institute. So, again, those of us that have been, I've met Chaim Richman before in some of the tours you do there of the Temple Institute. He takes you in there and gives you the speech, about the temple and all that's going to happen there. And, again, been there for years. They've made the implements for the Temple Mount. They've got the articles in place. They now have the menorah built. The 6-foot by 6-foot solid gold menorah is now done, they say. And all the garments and everything's ready to go. It's just waiting on a temple to fill it. And by the way, for the last few years, they've been now doing a Passover lamb sacrifice there in the Jewish quarter. And so this is all underway. But it says after his visit, after Pete Hegseth's visit to the Temple Mount in 2019, as a Fox News correspondent at the time, Hegseth shared, and I quote, "On the Temple Mount, Muslims have free access to visit anytime and pray. For non-Muslims, it's a different story. Non-Muslims are permitted to enter the site only on certain dates and at specific times. And Jewish prayer is strictly forbidden." That's the one we talked about earlier. They're just breaking that rule. "The only entrance to the Temple Mount for non-Muslims is the Mughrabi Gate. We've arrived at the checkpoint and waited in a long line." This is him doing his interview, I guess. "Anyone who looks like a religious Jew must go in an organized group, separated from the rest of the visitors. The Wafq is around," that is those running the Temple Mount from Jordan, "which is the Islamic police looking for anyone praying." It's interesting, you know, Greg.
What does that tell you about the power of prayer?
Well, I remember going up there. I think it might have been the first time I ever went up there. I don't know. But we went over to the area that I believe that north of the Dome of the Rock, where I believe the temple was and will be rebuilt.
And the most holy of holies.
Yeah, and we did a small little Bible study. And I was over there sharing the word and praying and everything. And I remember seeing this Muslim guy walking back and forth pacing, watching me the whole time. Nobody ever said anything. I didn't know. I thought, why? He must be so bothered spiritually by this spiritual act that I'm doing, you know.
He probably was too.
Yeah, but I wasn't trying to be obnoxious. I didn't realize I was breaking, you know, international law when I was doing that. And I always joke, you know, Calvary Chapel pastor started World War III, Temple Mount reading Bible and praying. But either way, you know, nothing happened.
Yeah.
But it says, you know, you're not supposed to be praying. They're looking for people praying. I guess they found me. They didn't do anything. I don't know why. Even I think John Corson got kicked off the Temple Mount.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, he has an honor I didn't get. But either way. Says, "And also taking our picture, a lot of questions about what's allowed and isn't allowed. Certainly praying is not allowed for the Jews and the Christians, but there are Muslims praying in the mosques that are on the site." He goes on, "Muslim leaders and groups deny the temple of," the article goes on, "deny the temple of the Bible. Why deny history? Worse, why destroy history, as has been happening on the Temple Mount in recent years? Because if you deny and destroy Jewish claims to the temple and the old city of Jerusalem, you can justify denying Jews further influence in the city of Jerusalem. By denying the temple, you can deny the state of Israel." So no temple, no state. "By denying the temple, you rally the outside world to see Israel as an occupying force." So you see, the temple, it is like this gigantic symbol that shows the Jews were here and they belong here. So if you can prevent them from rebuilding it or act like it never happened, which the evidence is overwhelming, not just the Bible, but secular evidence is overwhelming for it, and archaeological evidence is overwhelming for it. If you can do that, the belief is you can delegitimize the Jews being there, the fact that they shouldn't be there, or that they say they shouldn't be there, removing them as a nation, and all this kind of stuff. So there's a huge spiritual battle that goes on there with the Temple Mount. You know, Greg, were you ever with us on a trip where we went to the digs that were next to it, where they bring the dirt and the buckets out, and you go through the dirt looking for things found from the Temple Mount? Were you with us on any of those?
No, we didn't get to do that.
Okay. We've been on now, I think, three different times since then, where what happened was they were trying to do some building projects on the Temple Mount, the Wafq, the Jordanians, the Muslims, and they were just digging right into the Temple Mount, and taking dirt and throwing it over the wall, just kind of digging to build new things or doors or tunnels or whatever they were doing. They loved digging tunnels, obviously. But anyway, so again, to the Jew, that is sacred dirt.
Right.
You know, the Bible talks about those that love Jerusalem, you know, they love its dust. And you love its rock, you love everything about it. So there was no way they're going to let that be thrown over like dirt, even though it was.
Yeah.
Because of all the fact that it came from the Temple Mount and the possible finds
that could be in there.
So they took trucks down there and brought load after load after load. They took all that dirt that they dumped over the wall and they kept it. And they now go to this site and sift through it. They have for years. They've got more years to go to finish, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And you get to go if you want to and take your group there and kind of sift and do the water and look at things. And
oh,
you find glass and animal's teeth and bone. And you find all these things from the Temple
Mount.
That's
kind of exciting.
It is exciting. And over the years, they have found coins, ancient coins, maybe rings, all kinds of things. So, I mean, who knows? It's just amazing the stuff they find. So it's exciting, and they're still doing it. But again, it just shows you the difference. You know, it's interesting, the care that the Jews have for the Holy Land. You know, when it's your property, you care for it. There's a saying, drive it like it's a rental. when I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what that means. You don't care. Somebody else is. You can burn rubber, go fast, just use that thing, man, have fun in it. But when it's your car, you take care of it. Either you wash it, you change the oil, you make sure the tires are done, you try to make it last, at least if you're not a teen, you know, and you try to take care of it. That's what, when you look at how the Muslims deal with Jerusalem and how the Jews, it is such a contrast. I remember going and seeing certain areas where the Muslims are, and Greg, it's just trashed. And I'm not picking on them as a people. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying they don't care. They don't care for it. They just let it become trashed and trash everywhere. Then you go to the areas that have been turned over to the Jews, pristine, well manicured, taken care of, clean, overseen. It's because it's theirs and they know it's theirs, their land that God gave them. They love it. They cherish it. They take care of it. And those that are just squatting there that don't care about it, they're just kind of, you know, illegal immigrants, you could almost say, on the Holy Land. They don't care. They just destroy it. And it, if you ever wondered whose it belongs to, it reminds you of Solomon. Remember when the woman said, that's my baby? And the other woman said, no, it's my baby. They were fighting over who got the baby. And one was the prostitute and one was the true mom. And so he knew very wisely what to do. He said, all right, bring me a sword. And now set the baby up here and cut it in two. He knew that the woman that was the true mother could never allow that to happen. She would give that baby up to somebody, to a prostitute, before she would allow that baby to die. She'd rather it live because she loved the baby so much. And so the one, the prostitute revealed herself. She's like, cut it in two. I don't care. Cut it in two. We'll split it, because she didn't care. And the real mom said, no, please, please, please. You know what? She can have it. She can give the baby to her. Well, that right there made it very clear. You're the true owner of that child, so to speak. You're the real mom. That is exactly what you see when you see the Jews and the nation of Israel. You know, they are the real owners, and they're the ones that truly take care of it and love it. And so, again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because they're deceived, but they're going to love the Temple Mount. And if they get a chance to get back up there, it's going to be a national rallying point that the Antichrist is really going to use to deceive them.
Yeah. Well, here's one reason why the Jews can't be friends with the world. All Israel News, dated November 21st, 2024. The ICC, also known as the International Corrupt Court, or the International Court of Corruption, issues an arrest warrant for Prime Minister Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Gallant over, quote-unquote, war crimes, starvation, and crimes against humanity.
Yeah, this right here, we're going to camp here for a little while because we have time. This just makes, again, I use that term, makes my head blow off. This is like the most upsetting.
This is Yosemite Sam time.
You know, this is, you're looking at, I mean, this is such a, you're talking about Satan being a liar and the father of lies. This is Satan in the world's face, just lying to God, lying to man, lying to the media, which is so linked up to the demonic realm anyway. And it just is so angering. Let's just walk through this. First of all, the International Criminal Court, ICC, has issued warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant for crimes against humanity and war crimes allegedly committed during the Gaza War. And let's just stop. We'll read some of this, but let's stop a minute. This is what's really interesting to me. This is a group that's based out of Rome. The Roman treaty put this group, the criminal court, together. And the last days, remember, Rome is going to be revived, and Rome will lead the world in rebellion against God and against the nation of Israel. So it just falls right into place so beautifully. I mean, again, you couldn't write a fake novel that would be more true. We talked about before the show started. It's just ridiculous. Prime Minister Netanyahu and Gallant, the defense minister, have done nothing but what any defense minister and prime minister should do for their nation. They have defended themselves in self-defense against an invading attack, invading peoples trying to kill them and destroy their nation. And I will say this, if they didn't help their enemy at all, they would have still been in the right in all they've done. But with that said, they have gone overboard in helping the enemy. They have supplied food to the Hamas and to all these people. They have supplied protection by giving them leaflets everywhere before they even bomb, saying, if you don't want to be a part of this group, get out of there. They have supplied, you know, water. They said, if you want to leave and not be a part of that, you can leave and we'll help you. They have done so much, Greg, that it's like no army in world's history has done what they have done to protect their enemies and to help their enemies. And to do, you know, again, I just want, this is the kind of thing where they've gone so far and above over what anybody else would do, and then this ridiculous attack that is such a lie. It's, I don't even have words. I'm even stumbling now to find words. It's so upsetting. But listen to what it says. So they issued this arrest warrant saying that any of the nations that are part of this Roman treaty, Treaty of Rome, they can arrest them. Trudeau came out today and said, if Netanyahu comes to Canada, we will arrest him. Trudeau should be arrested. Trudeau
yes.
should be thrown in prison
yes.
and never get out. He's the true criminal. And so when I hear this stuff, it's like, you know, we had the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, I think it was. It's one of the cities up there where there's a
that's all
large
Muslim populated,
population.
Yeah.
He said, we don't care because our nation, at least on, you know, again, with their mouth, they came out and said, we don't stand with this. This is wrong. President Biden
right.
said that, as we'll see in a moment. But he said in Michigan, we don't care. If Netanyahu comes here, we'll arrest him. I'd love to see him try to do that.
Yeah, I would,
because
too.
If they went in with their protective duty and our protective duty, that guy would be stomped and kicked out of the way, and so would everybody else. I'm like, you know, I wish they would just... Here's what I wish President Trump would do.
I wish
President Trump would do. I wish he would have a rally with Netanyahu in Dearborn, Michigan. And
yes.
just set it up and say, we're here to say how much we love Israel and we support them. And thank you, Prime Minister Netanyahu, for being here. I mean, I know that's probably flesh, but I'm telling you.
Probably.
I'm telling you, it just, when I see Satan put it in our face, I want it back in his face.
I know. It's a righteous anger.
It says, in a detailed explanation of his decision, the court wrote it found reasonable grounds to believe, no it didn't, you liars, that Netanyahu and Gallant each bear criminal responsibility for the following crimes as co-perpetrators for committing the acts jointly with others. The war crime of starvation as a method of warfare. Starvation! They brought in piles of food. They allowed all these resources in. Hamas stole the resources, took them away from the people, and then hurt their own people when they tried to get
them. And Hamas videotaped this and posted this on social media.
Unbelievable. I mean, everybody sees it, and it's like, it's right in your face. We're going to say
this is like the Pharisees falsely accusing Jesus in a way.
I can't stand it. And then crimes against humanity, they said, also of murder. There's no murder. They're defending themselves against their enemies, and they warned their enemies to get out of those areas before they bombed them. Then they're persecuting Hamas and other inhumane acts. No, this is called war, and this is called self-defense against evil, evil enemies that are trying to hurt you and your people. I would have done the same, and every red-blooded American should feel the same way. The court accused them of intentionally and knowingly depriving Gaza citizens of objects indispensable to their survival, including food, water, and medicine, and medical supplies, as well as fuel and electricity. Lies, lies, lies. I mean, I have the theme song for the International Criminal Court. That's an old Simon Garfunkel song, Greg. You've heard me say it before. Lie, 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 lie. That should be their theme song from now on. Whenever they come on, they have some announcement, whatever has to be done. President Isaac Herzog declared a black day for justice and humanity because of these atrocities. I agree with him. It's the atrocity of I put the word atrocity in because it's
atrocity
ridiculous.
Of the ICC.
That's what I mean. I'm saying that.
Yeah.
He says the absurd decision of the International Criminal Court made in bad faith turned universal justice into a universal joke. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, President Herzog. It ridiculed the sacrifice of all those who fought for justice from the Allied victory over the Nazis until today. National unity leader Benny Gantz said that the court's decision is moral blindness and a historical disgrace that will never be forgotten. Absolutely. It's worse than this, but I know they've got to be diplomatic. Finally, National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir proposed to respond by annexing Judea and Samaria. The answer to the arrest warrants, applying sovereignty to all the territories of Judea and Samaria, Jewish settlements in all parts of the country, and severing ties with the terrorist authority in Palestine, including sanctions. This is awesome. I mean, maybe they will use this to say, you know what, look, President Trump's coming into office, Greg. Now these ridiculous attacks are coming against Israel. This is the perfect time for them to stand up and say, you know what, I mean, once President Trump is sworn in, you know what, Judea and Samaria, they belong to Israel. There is no West Bank. It's all ours. And just claim it all right now. Let President Trump put a stamp of approval in their face. You want to pull this stuff? We're going to do it. Let God reestablish that portion of his land and do it. I hope they do. This would be a great time to do that. I mean, this is so absurd. This is like somebody breaking into your home and cornering your family back in a room, starting to rape your wife and children, shooting them, killing them, hurting them, whatever. And you can, before they kill everybody, you grab a gun and you shoot back and kill them, and they all come and they arrest you for the atrocity of you defending your family, and you did harm to these people that came into your home. That's how ridiculous this is.
Yes.
And it's so maddening that it just, again, I don't, it's hard even to find words oftentimes, but this is where I hope that they'll grab this, run with it, and just establish this is the land of Israel, and let this be the beginning of a brand new era for them. Of course, the Antichrist will come in, divide it all up, but man, I'd love to see that take place.
Yes. Okay, now there's a fire extinguisher right next to you, Pastor Mark.
It's not going
to
work.
Just, okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. Okay, and here's other things that can make you go mad as well. This is from the Christian Post, dated November 18th. 2,400 anti-Christian hate crimes reported in Europe in 2023.
Yeah, this is interesting. We've been talking about the Jewish attacks that have been taking place.
Yes.
But Christians, you need to remember, we're next in line.
Yes.
Again, the chants that they chant in Israel, you know, among the Muslims, you know, is Saturday first and then Sunday. And what that means is we're going to deal with the Jews first because we hate them the most, and then we're going to deal with the Christians because we hate them second. So, again, when you see, that's why we as Christians need to be very in tune with the attack against the Jews and stand up against that and defend the Jewish people and fight for the Jewish people, because first of all, because God told us to, and we're to love them, they're future brothers and sisters in Christ. But secondly, because, again, when they're done with the Jews, they're coming after us. It reminds me of that whole thing where, you know, nobody wanted to say anything when Hitler was killing everybody because they weren't Jewish. Well, you know, finally, when they ran out of the Jews, they started coming for everybody else. They came after the Christians, and then they started coming after everybody else that wouldn't go along with him. And so the same thing is going to happen, you know, with the Antichrist. And this is where we need to wake up as believers. It says anti-Christian hate crimes in Europe reached a total of 2,444 incidents in 2023, according to a report, which compiled data from police and civil society sources across 35 European countries. The stats include 232 personal attacks on Christians, ranging from harassment and threats to physical violence. At least 1,230 anti-Christian hate crimes were allegedly committed by 10 of the European governments in 2023, an increase of 1,029 in 2022, said the report, titled Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe Report 2024, a European watchdog organization. Isn't it interesting? Probably nothing here that's to grab onto, Greg, but isn't it interesting that 10 European nations are the ones where all this happened?
10. That's an interesting number,
Ten
Pastor
toes.
Mark.
Just
saying.
Something about this stinks.
Yes. Something's very fungal about it.
Yes. Yes. So either way, but yeah, so again, just when you see this kind of thing, again, remember, you know, it affects us. Standing with the Jews affects the believer as well. Not just our obedience to the Lord, but also what happens to the church after that.
Yeah. Well, here's something that's happening to the church. This is from the New York Post, dated November 20th. This church has an AI Jesus for confessions.
Yeah.
It gave me so much advice.
Yeah. The Messiah AI, they said.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? This is really creepy stuff.
It is creepy.
And it's also could be, it could be so wrong with a computer. And number two, many people are linking, Greg, even AI to the demonic realm in many ways because there's so much weird stuff connected to AI that's unexplainable. So I'm not saying possess computers, although sometimes I think I've had one or two.
You have a lot of problems with computers, now that I think about it. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that thing is actually spiritual sometimes,
yes,
I think.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, anyway.
You're not as bad as you're fairly computer literate.
Yeah, I can get around pretty good.
You are pretty good.
It's not human error. It is sometimes. For the most part, it's not human error. It's just like weird stuff happens. And
that doesn't happen to the rest of us, but only you.
And oftentimes, like right before a teaching or a download of something that you
need. Or a staff meeting.
Yeah. So, all right. Yes, and yeah, there we go. So either way. But the article says, look at this. Just in case artificial intelligence hasn't been taking on enough jobs lately, now it's replacing the Almighty. A church in Switzerland is now using an AI hologram.
Hmm.
Check that out. We've talked in the past about, remember the the image on the Temple Mount when the third temple is rebuilt, and the possibility of the image somehow being connected to holograms. Now you've got AI, which is, again, has the ability to do things that, you know, recreate people and things, like this Antichrist.
This is conditioning.
It is.
Yes.
They're now using an AI hologram of Jesus. And I want to add this. What could go wrong?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with that?
And here it is. They're using him to take confessions from Catholic worshipers as seen in a wild viral video. Well, you know, again, Greg, it is interesting. It's forcing them to go to the one they're supposed to go to anyway, although he's not the real one. I mean, usually they're running to priests or saints, and now they're having to go to Jesus. Go ahead. Yes.
No. I'm just because of one of the statements here that's like you're supposed to be able to confess anything to Jesus, right?
I mean, we're
like, that's what we're told to.
Scripture says we can do that.
But before entering, Robo-Jesus cautions, do not disclose personal information under any circumstances.
Yeah.
Use this service at your own risk. Press the button if you accept.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's kind of like those old jokes, you know, where if you try to call heaven, it's like, I'm going to put you on hold, you know, and nobody's available right now. And
you're the second caller in line.
Yeah, it's like, I just, you know.
Your wait time is 35 minutes.
Well, what do you even say about, there's so much wrong on so many levels about this, but let me quote, listen, I was surprised, one person said, it was so easy, as though he is, and though it's a machine, it gave me so much advice. I think that's a good thing. Get all your life advice from a machine. One awestruck worshiper told DW News while describing their experience with the Sermonator.
I think, isn't that a nickname for you, though? Aren't you the Sermonator? No.
Actually, that was a book or something.
Oh, was it a book? Well, okay.
Who was it called himself that? It was, come on. He'll hit me in a minute. One of the pastors, well-known pastor, older, white hair. He did a thing, a book called The Sermonator or something.
David Jeremiah?
No. It'll hit me again. Everybody out there is yelling to their radio because they know who it is.
Somebody might hit me on the secret text line here.
Yeah. Anyway, located at St. Peter's Church in Lucerne, it's dubbed the Deus in Machina. The futuristic shrine features a confessional booth.
A God machine.
Yeah. A confessional booth with a screen displaying the face of Jesus through the grave. I went and watched the video. And they have this screen pushed right up to the confessional thing, and this picture of the somebody that looks like Jesus comes up.
Yeah.
And the guy kind of sounds like, you know, like me or something, like you. It's just like, you know, hey, you're doing whatever. I mean, this is kind of normal guy talking, so it's kind of weird. They didn't try to add a spiritual element to his voice. I don't know what that would be.
What happens when Jesus reboots?
You can see all these are.
See, if you get the blue screen of death, what happens then?
These are. I have so much to reveal to you, but you're just not ready. Now's not the time.
Now's the time to upgrade.
There's so much that I want to tell you, but you're just not. You're not ready. I don't know.
Well, you know, here's the sad thing, though. In all seriousness, here's the sad thing. When you think about the generation that has been raised with you and I were not raised with technology.
That's right.
But when you've got a generation that's raised with technology from their infancy, the thought of communicating with a machine at such an intimate level really isn't that far-fetched for them if they don't know the Lord.
That's right.
Because they've been intimate with machines and iPads and iPhones and whatever since they were little because that's what the parents gave them.
Yeah, and you talk to them and they talk back.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's Siri or whether it's some other, I probably set everybody's phone off just in the listening. But either way.
Or Alexa.
Or Alexa. There's going to be something there. So you're exactly right. But it goes on and says, the Jesus cybernetic second coming was made possible by computer scientists and theologians from the Lucerne University of Applied Sciences and Arts who programmed the bot with the New Testament and religious information found online. That's always
religious
good.
Information found online. What could go wrong with that?
What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong with that? The Daily Mail reported the cybernetic savior is also fluent in 100 different languages, enabling it to converse with worshipers from all over the world.
That's handy.
Yeah, I just, this is just the beginning. We've already seen this, people using AI to write sermons and you know, the artificial Jesus is online, and now you have this going on here with this particular thing. Again, I don't know where this is all going to play into the Antichrist, but you know, you think there's got to be some link here. You talk about the holograms and the image of the beast that's going to be on the Temple Mount and goes with all this. I mean, and the concern they have about computers getting so advanced that they... you know, take all the systems over because everything's tied into computers. There was a one of these, I think, computer, was it Gemini or one of them that's Google one that just recently, you know, after some guy worked with it some of the hours, said, you know, you should just die. You need to die and be done with, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and kind of freaked him out. He turned his computer off. Okay, I'm done with that thing.
Now, let me ask you this. You saw the video. Did you see the image that they depicted of Jesus?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. And did that look like the typical picture we see of him, or did the image look different?
Well, it looked, he had obviously the beard, the long hair, the mustache. The face was wider than you normally would expect and looked more normal. It didn't look like the Jesuses that you see in the movies and all that. And plus, it was through a grate.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, you could see whatever, and you know.
Okay, so you know where my mind went. My mind went, if this is a demonic thing,
yeah.
Okay, why, what would be interesting is if they made the image look like what the Antichrist is going to look like. So when he actually shows up on the scene, yeah, somebody can go, hey, he was in the box the other day. Now look at him. He's up on the stage.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just think
that would
be
classic, you know, the whole beard, the long hair.
I don't know that Antichrist. He'll have that.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Well, it's weird and weird stuff. It leads right into the last weird stuff article. That's perfect.
Yes. Well, it's not AI Jesus in this story, but according to the Blaze Media, in an article dated November 18th, Bill Gates, has an insane plan to save us. His plan is to block out the sun.
No, that's just insanity. God created the sun so that mankind could live, and we have somebody now who wants to block the sun. The exact opposite. I mean, this whole thing, of course, we watched Bill Gates just be off the rails here the last few years. He's playing God, and you give somebody money and some little bit. I mean, even when he started pushing all the whole, this whole regime, he's been doing like vaccines long before the whole COVID thing came along all over the world. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. This is all a financial investment. And really, as before we started, you know, the show, whatever, it's like the gates of hell.
Yes.
I mean, this is it. And so, but the
who's
gates
going to pay the bill for the gates of hell?
The gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
So that's
everybody
right.
Relax. But
amen.
This stuff is nonsense. You talk about destroying the planet. And I don't know. We know that when the great tribulation takes place, we know that God's going to be the one bringing the judgment. And that's absolutely clear. But I've wondered, is God going to use some of these crazy things these people do in that process? Because this could be a planet-destroying episode. Someone happened, the busybody billionaire. That's great. We call him now. The busybody billionaire.
Great title.
Triple B has a God complex and more than enough money to inflict it on all of us. Bill Gates has more money than most of us can ever imagine. If he wanted, he could disappear to some remote paradise, live in absolute comfort, and never deal with any of us again. But for the bespectacled billionaire, it's never just about money. It's about power. The man has a God complex. His latest fixation involves blocking the sun. That's a great idea. The sun is what keeps us alive. The sun is what makes our plants grow. The sun is what does everything. Osmo, why don't we just block it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What could go wrong with that?
I got an idea. Guys, let's block the sun. It's like, yes, Gates, a man who looks like he hasn't seen daylight in a decade, is backing a geoengineering project that would inject particles into the atmosphere to reflect solar rays, supposedly cooling the planet to reverse global warming. First of all, let me just say it again. God's in control of our planet and the temperature. He promises he will be. Everything's going to be in place till he comes back in the second coming. The Bible's clear. We can all relax and enjoy our vehicles and everything else and our sunlight. It may be, the article says, it may sound like a science fiction plot, but it's happening, and the implications are vast and unsettling. In short, a handful of tech moguls and venture-backed startups would be meddling with our planet's climate on a scale that none of us voted for and none of us fully understand. This method, known as stratospheric aerosol injection, aims to bounce sunlight back into space by dispersing particles in the upper atmosphere. But experts caution that the fallout could be devastating. Things such as unpredictable weather patterns, crop failures, droughts, and even shifts in hurricanes and disease patterns. Again, nothing to worry about. No major issues
nothing
here
to see
with that.
Here. Move along.
You've got to, look, you've got to pass the bill before you see what's in it. So we need to try it first and find out, is this really going to take place? This is insanity. And that's why, you know, Greg, you mentioned before the show started, if the Lord didn't intervene, no flesh would be saved, it says in Matthew. Yeah. Now you see why. We are going to destroy ourselves. And men like this are leading the way. Look, Jesus is Lord. He holds all things together by his power, it says in Colossians chapter 1. He's the one that's going to keep our environment and everything safe. We trust him. We know there's going to be groanings of the earth in the last days. Jesus is going to come back and rule and reign. I'm just glad to know that the Lord's in control, so guys like this can't destroy the earth. You know, what happens if those particles somehow reflect the light down on us and the earth gets seven times hotter? I mean, you know, again...
That would be bad.
Yes. And so, again, the bottom line is this whole thing is just insanity. We know that the Lord's in control. Let's just trust in him. Kind of an odd place to end today. But again, let's just be reminded, aren't you glad Jesus is on the throne and not Bill Gates or any other man? We just praise the Lord that he's running the show. And now we can rest and rejoice as believers. His promise holds true, and he will see us through to the end.
Amen.
Yes.
Pastor Mark, thank you. And folks, thanks for listening. Don't forget, thewaymedia.net. You can watch Pastor Mark this Sunday morning right from that website. You can listen to these articles, listen to his programs, and listen to our radio station as well. And hopefully you'll listen to us next Friday at 1:30 with more Signs of the Times.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. There's a wound here in my heart where something's missing, and they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place